Hey there, come on in, pull up a chair, make yourself at home. I'm Gary Zimak. This is Following the Truth. Today is Monday, August the 3rd, and we're going to be talking about how Jesus somehow takes us into the storm because he wants to teach us something. We're going to base everything on the gospel from today's daily mass. It's a familiar one. It involves Peter walking on the water, Jesus walking on the water, the disciples being in the storm. So we're going to try to tie all of that together and come up with a message courtesy of the Holy Spirit. I laugh because I can't even say the word message, and yet I have to give you a message. Hey, listen, I hope you had a great weekend. I have to share some news, something that happened to me. So Saturday I wake up, right, and I notice my arms, my right arm in particular, was itchy. And I couldn't see a rash, but I started scratching it. And eventually, as the day went on, it started to show signs of a rash. I had all kinds of bumps, and it was red. And then I remembered that I was doing some weeding the other night, and I pulled out some interesting-looking weeds. And yep, it looks like I got poison ivy, and I don't know. I haven't had this for years. I haven't had it since I was a kid, but man, does it itch. So I'm in the midst of that right now, but thank God it's not horrendous, but it's, boy, is it itchy. So I'm trying all kinds of remedies for it now just to take away the itch, but I learned my lesson for sure. Next time I do weeding, I'm going to wear long sleeves. I just didn't expect it. I let my guard down. I forgot how painful this was. I remember when I was a kid, we used to play in the woods all the time, and poison ivy was a regular occurrence, but I do not want to get it again. So that's how my weekend went. I hope you had a great weekend, and I'm really glad you're able to join me for the program today. And as we begin, before we begin to actually talk about the gospel, let's turn to our Heavenly Father, and let's lift our voices and our hearts to him in prayer. If you please join me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to this moment in time. Father, we are alive right now, which is a sign of your providence. If you didn't care for us, we would not be alive at this point in time. So we're very grateful for that. Father, we know that you have a plan for us. We know that you have something that you would like us to do with our lives, something that we can uniquely do, that nobody else can do. Please help us to be aware of that plan. Make it obvious to us what you would like us to do. And please grant us the grace to move forward with it. Father, I pray for all of our families and friends, for all of us. I ask you to bless all of these people. Keep them safe. Keep them free from any confusion or discouragement or any of the tricks of the enemy. Father, we pray for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for relief for all of those people who are suffering from the virus in any way. And Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument on the show today, to use me as your instrument to speak your message. I want to make sure that I deliver your message and not my own personal message. So Father, I trust you to do that. I ask you to give me what I need to be able to deliver. And I ask you to open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we can hear, listen, and respond to what it is that you have to say. And Father, we ask this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, thank you for praying with me. And in case you're just tuning in, I'm Gary Zimak. The name of the show is Following the Truth. We do this every Monday through Friday. And you can get this program at any of your favorite podcast sources. So just let your friends know about the program. I'd really appreciate it if you could help me spread the word. Okay, so today I said I want to talk about this gospel from our daily mass. And by the way, this gospel, it's an important one, and it's going to be repeated in just a few days during the Sunday Mass. So sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. The church does repeat certain readings, even during a relatively short period of time. But there is usually an emphasis on one or another aspect of the reading. Now, today, we're going to focus on some things, and Sunday when you couple the gospel with the first reading of the responsorial psalm, I think it takes on a different meaning. You know, there's so many different little messages in each of these scripture passages that when the church puts them together, sometimes she does that for a reason. You know, these readings are paired up, especially you'll see that on Sunday when a first reading and a responsorial psalm are chosen specifically to support the gospel. Now, if you ever listened to my weekend show, the Gary Zimek show, I always read the gospel first because the gospel leads the way, and then I talk about the first reading of the responsorial psalm and how they tie into the gospel. If you're interested, check it out this Friday when the show becomes available, the Gary Zimek show, and I'll talk about the readings from this upcoming Sunday's Mass. But right now, let's look at this gospel from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. I want to make several points in delivering this message because there's a lot of key things that happen here, and I don't want you to miss any of them. All right, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea while he dismissed the crowd. So what's happening here is Jesus just got done feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, a pretty amazing feat. And now he's sending his disciples ahead of him in the boat to precede him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. That's the sea that they were on, while he dismissed the crowds. So really, what's happening here is similar to us trying to follow the Lord's will for our lives. Jesus says to us each day, follow me. And for the most part, we follow him by performing the normal duties of our state in life, whatever that may be. And that's primarily how we follow Jesus. Now, there are little twists and turns. There's some fine print there. And throughout the day, you're going to get some specific ways to follow the Lord. But for the most part, it's just a matter of going about your daily business and doing everything to bring him glory, you know, doing it the best you can. Jesus makes the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side. After doing so, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now, just a couple of notes that I want to key on here is, first, Jesus is leading his followers. He's saying, come along, do this, go in this boat, go over across the sea. And Jesus went to a place by himself to pray up on the mountain. He secluded himself. He was in seclusion. He made that conscious decision to go somewhere where he was able to pray. Look at that great example. That great example for all of us. Are you doing that? Are you making that time to pray by yourself each day? And I really strongly, you've heard me say this before, I really strongly encourage you to do that, to be able to give the Lord a little time. I think it's great to do it in the morning before things get too hectic. It gives your day a good start. But look, if Jesus makes time to pray, you know, you and me, we better be praying as well. When it was evening, Jesus was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. So what we see happening here is Jesus really set up the disciples. He made them get into a boat and precede him to the other side. He was literally sending them into the storm. One of the points I want to make, and this is a critical one, is that sometimes Jesus will lead us directly into the storm. And he's not doing that because he's busy and he's not paying attention and he doesn't realize there's going to be a storm. He's not doing it because he doesn't care about us. Jesus is doing it. He is letting us, or literally leading us, into the storm because he wants to teach us something. That's what's happening here. We learn very well in the storm, because that's one time that we generally have the Lord's undivided attention. You know, when we're in the middle of the storm and we're desperate and we're panicking, we tend to listen really, really well. And that's what he does. That's why he does that. I would prefer that he wouldn't do that. I would prefer that there is another way to do this. But I know that in my own life, I learn best in the storm. And when he leads me into these stormy seas, then I'm a very captive audience, right? And there is something to be learned. So whatever you're going through now, I would urge you to really ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? You know, and it's okay to ask for your storm to go away. It's okay to ask for him to take it away. Now, he will sometimes, but sometimes he won't. And that's the, ultimately, we want to get to the point in our spiritual life where we accept whatever however he answers our prayers. I mean, that's ultimately when we pray, thy will be done, which is the way Jesus lived his life, always wanting to do the will of the Father. And when we pray, thy will be done, and the Lord doesn't answer in the way that we would like or the way that we would expect, are we willing to say, okay, your will be done? I mean, if we're not, then we really have to rethink the way we pray the Lord's Prayer. When we use those words, thy will be done, we're saying, Lord, I want it to be done your way. Do to me as you wish. Use me as your servant. That's the mentality there. So Jesus was leading them into the storm because he wanted to teach them something. The boat was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. Now, you might be feeling that like that right now. This is one of those stories that I always like to use when I speak, when I go out to churches and speak, because it's such a great story. You're probably, there's a good chance you're going through some kind of a storm right now. It might be COVID-related. It might be related to something else, but there's a good chance that you are going through a storm. And if not, be thankful and recognize, and I'm not saying this to be a wise guy, but recognize that one's going to be coming soon, because that's the way it is. That life is filled with storms, and God uses these storms to help us, you know, because you got to remember, he is all loving and he's all powerful. So if the storm would not help us, he can get rid of it. You know, he loves us. So therefore, if any storm is allowed into our lives, there's a reason for it, and somehow it can help us. Now, I'm not asking you to fully understand that, because it's a hard concept to understand. But what I am asking you to do is to believe it, because that's the only way you're really ever going to find peace in life, if you accept that. During the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 to 6 a.m., because back in the days of our Lord, the day was divided, that's it, divided into four parts. So during the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m., he came toward them, walking on the sea. Now, there are some Bible translations that will render that phrase, the fourth watch of the night, as shortly before dawn. And this is an important concept, because generally it's thought of that just before the dawn is the darkest part of the night, right? So this is a storm when the disciples very well could be on the verge of despair, or in your own particular case, you might be on the verge of despair. It might be looking pretty dark right now. And that's when Jesus shows up, shortly before dawn, the fourth watch of the night. All of a sudden, in the middle of the storm, Jesus shows up. Let's see what happens next. He came toward them, walking on the sea. Now, you try to picture this for a minute. And I can see myself, if I'm panicking because of the storm, then Jesus, who had just performed a miracle and multiplied the loaves and the fish, I would be really excited. Don't you think you would too? Really excited to see him. And especially since he's walking on the sea. And what he's doing here, he's illustrating that he has power over the forces of nature. Now, tomorrow, we are here in New Jersey, we're going to be experiencing a tropical storm. It's headed up the coast. And, you know, when things like this happen, you're very aware that you don't have a lot of control over nature, right? And it can be a little scary sometimes. But Jesus is illustrating here that he's bigger than the storm, or he's bigger than the elements. So he can walk on the water, and he's doing just that. He is walking on the water toward them. How do they react? When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Now, I know, you wouldn't expect that to be the reaction, right? You would expect them to be happy and think that this is Jesus, so we're really happy to see him. But no, they cried out in fear because they were terrified. You got to understand, these guys were still learning about Jesus. They were very weak people. So I can relate. You know, I'm weak. They're weak. They got a lot of things wrong. They panicked quite often, as I do. And maybe you feel the same way. And they cried out thinking that it was a ghost. They didn't recognize that Jesus was appearing to them in the midst of the storm. And another point is that oftentimes we pray that the storms will go away in our lives. And again, that's a good way to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes what the Lord will do is he won't make the storm go away, but he'll be present with us in the storm. And he does that because he wants to teach us something. And generally what he wants to teach us is to not rely so much on ourselves, on our own power, but to rely on him. And we fail to do that, don't we? We fail to do that sometimes. We think it's all about us. We have to fix everything. And we forget about him. Please don't forget about him. Because he wants you to learn that. He wants you to know that he'll help you if you'll ask him. The disciples are terrified. It's a ghost. They cried out in fear. At once, Jesus spoke to them. And I love delivering this line because I'm gonna tell you right now, if you are struggling, if you are in the storm, this line is directed to you, and it comes right from the lips of Jesus. "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, note that Jesus didn't say, "Take courage. I'm going to make the storm go away. The waves will not bother you anymore." He just said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And that's a common message that you'll see throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. When God deals with people who are afraid, who are dealing with adversity, his message is always the same. Number one, do not be afraid. And then he tacks onto it the ending, or he appends onto the message, do not be afraid. Why? Because I am with you. Not because your circumstances are going to change, although sometimes they will. But more importantly, because I am with you, because he's with us, that's enough reason to have no fear. This is a lifelong process. You're going to be learning this lesson for the rest of your life. This is not an easy lesson to learn. It goes against many things we believe in. You know, we're not used to leaning on the Lord. And when we're in the storm, we tend to want to fix it on our own, or we begin to panic. And we say, there's no way I can get through this. I can't make it through this storm. Just take it away because I can't deal with it. And sometimes the Lord will say, as he said to St. Paul with the thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, you can handle this with the help of my grace. But you got to leave that up to him. He's going to know what's best. "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Now, Peter said to him in reply, Peter's the only one that says anything, "Lord, if it is you," see, Peter's still not sure. Now, I'm not really sure why Peter didn't recognize Jesus. Maybe he was panicking. Maybe the rain was so strong. Maybe Jesus was far enough away that Peter couldn't tell for sure. But Peter's holding out that hope that it could be Jesus. "Lord, if it is you," he's doing what's called discerning. He's discerning the Lord's will. And he said to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, that's an amazing statement. Peter's a fisherman. Peter knows that technically it's not possible to walk on water. I mean, he knows that. But he sees Jesus, and he gets really excited when he sees Jesus walking on water, and he wants to come to him. Where is Jesus? He's not in the boat. See, he wants to grow closer to the Lord. So he's willing to step out of the boat to get closer to Jesus. He's willing to take a risk to get closer to the Lord. And I would ask you, are you as willing to meet Jesus wherever he is? Do you want to meet him in the storm? What's more important, the security that you get from a problem-free life or encountering Jesus, even if it'll involve a storm? I know, that's a tough one, right? It's tough to think about. But we want to get to the point where Jesus means more to us than a problem-free life. That's what I'm trying to say, the problem-free life. And I know, like, I'm somebody who definitely likes comfort. I don't like problems. If I could avoid suffering, I would. But I now realize that Jesus sometimes, quite often, wants me to go into the storm so that he could take our relationship to the next level. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. You know, very simply, come. No explanation, no, you can do this, Peter. Don't worry about it. Just take the first step. No, all he said was come. Now, implied in there, in that invitation, obviously this is risky because there's no indication that the waves have subsided. The storm is still raging. It's risky to step out of the boat. But Peter's so excited to see Jesus and to encounter him and to meet him that he's willing to step out of the boat when Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. You know, we all know where this story, how this story ends. But sometimes I just like to dwell on that line because it's such a good news story. Peter began to walk on the water toward Jesus. He did it. He was able to do it. He was able to do the impossible because it was God's will for him at that point to walk on the water. Once Jesus gives you the green light to do something in your life, you should do it. And that's what Peter was experiencing at this point in time. He was walking on the water toward Jesus, and he was doing it successfully. See, that's what we need to remember. If the Lord asks us to do something difficult, you get a bad medical diagnosis, you lose your job, you get diagnosed with COVID-19 or any number of things, a spouse or a good friend dies suddenly. If the Lord is asking you to do something, asking you to step into the storm, he will sustain you if you'll give him a chance. You just got to trust him. Peter got out of the boat. He began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. You see Peter's big mistake? He focused more on the wind than he did on Jesus. He focused more on the wind than he did on Jesus, and he began to sink. In the same way, if we concentrate more on our problems than we do on Jesus and his constant presence in our lives, we're going to panic too, and we're going to begin to sink, because we're focusing more on the problems and less on him. And that's why it's important to get our eyes back on him. Now, there's going to be a shift to take place here. And by the way, note, the storm hasn't stopped. And this is proof. Peter focused on how strong the wind was, and then he became frightened. So he took his eyes off of Jesus. He focused on the danger around him, and he became frightened. Does that sound familiar? I mean, look at what's going on in the world around us. And look at what happens, if you're like me, when you start to read the news stories and you start to hear the predictions and you start to hear the doom and gloom. You start to get a little anxious, don't you? And that's why it's important to always be able to get your focus back on Jesus. Yeah, be informed, know what's going on in the world, that's fine. But don't let it distract you to the point where it takes your focus off of Jesus, because otherwise you're going to do what Peter did. You're going to begin to panic, you're going to begin to sink, and you're going to begin to become discouraged and overwhelmed and maybe even hopeless. But Peter, beginning to sink, so Peter was starting to sink now, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now look, that was the focus shift right there. Now Peter shifted his focus to Jesus, right? You can only look at one thing at a time. You're either looking at the waves, you're looking at your problems, or you're looking at Jesus. Peter now is looking toward Jesus, crying, Lord, save me. And how does Jesus respond? Immediately. He doesn't wait. He doesn't delay. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him. And he said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I think that's the question all of us have to focus on when we panic and when we don't turn to the Lord or we don't trust him. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? I mean, how would you answer that question? I would have to say, Lord, I doubted because I didn't trust you. That's okay. I mean, have that discussion with Jesus. It's a good, you're going to grow in your relationship with him by having that discussion. After they got into the boat, the wind died down. See, they got back into the boat and the wind died down. Now, we don't know how long Peter was in the middle of the storm with Jesus. We don't know how long that lasted. But the wind didn't die down until they got back into the boat. And those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You see, so that storm was designed to boost the faith primarily of Peter and also of the other disciples in the boat. Now, after making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word out to all the surrounding country. People brought to Jesus all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. And I wanted to include that. That's the end of the gospel today. I wanted to include that part, even though the story kind of turns a little bit, and it's a different, got a bit of a different angle. But the reminder is that if you're sick right now, understand that Jesus never refused to heal anybody who was sick. Now, sometimes if you go to him and ask for healing, for whatever reason, he allows the illness to continue because he can bring greater good out of it. But I would encourage you, go to Jesus, do what Peter did, and say, Lord, save me. Ask him to cure you. All right? Hey, I am completely out of time. Thanks for hanging out with me. I look forward, God willing, to being back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. Have a great day. Remember, turn to Jesus, and you're going to be peaceful.